We have been covering and talking about the names of God, and I've had the pleasure, I think this is my third one. I think I did Jehovah Rapha, I did El Elyon, and now I am getting ready to do Adonai. And so then next week, Pastor's going to talk a little bit. If everything works out, he'll be talking about Jehovah Nisi. And so we've talked about Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shammah, Elohim, Jireh, Rapha, Rohi, El Elyon, El Shaddai, and tonight, Adonai. Amen. Anybody know what Adonai means tonight? Lord, my Lord, Master, my Master. And if you probably look into the Message Bible, it would say he's the boss. If you were to look in the Message Bible tonight. So we're going to talk about it. We're going to get into it just a little bit tonight. And I'm going to try my best not to, see what I got, 7:55. I'm going to move quickly tonight. But talking about Adonai, my Father, my Master, and just kind of discovering and going over what these things mean. And we've looked at them for several weeks now. But let me pray before I get into my notes here tonight. Father, we thank you. We praise you that you are in control. Lord, I pray that you would use me in a mighty way, God, to speak life. And God, to let someone walk away tonight renewed, refreshed. And Lord God, just full of knowledge of who you are and the different names that we have that we can call on you in certain situations, that we can say those names and know the power that resides in those names. And so, Father God, I pray that you would set me behind your cross, that only you are seen and heard tonight in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I heard a story of two children who were playing a game. One of the children, the older of the two, began telling the younger child what he was supposed to be doing. After listening for a bit, the younger child looked up at the oldest and said these words, "You are not the boss of me." You ever said that before? You know what I'm saying? Whether it's a spouse, a sister, or a brother, whether it may be, you're in a situation and you are fed up. You are not going to listen to another thing that you get ready to say. And I had another pastor that I worked with one time, and he said, I wish to say this to my siblings. Put his hand aside his head with his finger. So you don't want to put it in nobody's face. So you just put it right here and point at me. You are not the boss of me. All right. Let's get that straight right now. You know, I worked with a lady once. And she was very adamant that she did not have a boss. She says, "I have an employer," she stated, "but I do not have a boss." She was unwilling to place herself in submission to anyone, and her attitude toward the word boss made that very evident. And sometimes we, you know, it's just kind of what we grew up in and what we just say. You know, you may, "Hey, let me introduce you to my boss." And we have to be careful. You know, I know you don't mean it in a disrespectful way, but sometimes we just say, "Hey, let me introduce you to my supervisor. Let me introduce you to my employer. Let me introduce you to the person that has charge over me when I'm in this building." You know, that kind of thing. And so we have to sometimes be careful with when we're tossing around the word boss. Well, tonight I want us to ponder this question tonight as we're talking about Adonai. And Adonai means my master or my Lord. And that's this question: who is the boss of you? Each of us has someone or something that is the boss of us. And a master to whom we bow in submission. If we are wise, that boss is God. For some, though, the boss of their life could be another person or perhaps a habit or a stronghold. If left unchecked, will be allowed to determine the course of your life and dictate virtually every move that you make. If we put the wrong person or the wrong thing in charge of our lives, then that thing somehow it starts to determine and virtually tells us and gives us the course of our lives. The thing that you give control. whether it's a habit, whether it's a substance, whether it's money, whether it's whatever it may be, if we give it that position, if we allow it to be the boss of our lives, then it dictates to us the course of our life. And we have to be careful tonight. So I wrote this down in my notes, and don't take it personally, but jokingly, as husbands, sometimes we'll pass off decisions that either we don't want to make or decisions we don't want to make in the moment. And we'll say, well, hey, let me talk to the boss before I give you an answer, right? Anybody, any husband guilty of that? Somebody ask you for something or to do something, you go, well, hold on, just give me a moment. I need to talk to the boss. Because either that's a deal that says, hey, I'm not getting ready to answer this right now, so it's a deflection, or it may be a situation where you're going, hey, I literally need to have a discussion with my wife because I just don't make these kind of decisions without her knowing about it. Out of a level of respect, right? But that's what we do. We jokingly sometimes as husbands will say those kind of things. The name of God that we delve into tonight, Adonai, means Lord and Master. If God is Adonai to you, he is the one whom you submit or bow down. He is the boss of your life. Adonai is the ultimate authority figure in your life and the one whom you owe your complete allegiance. We are not slaves, but we recognize who God is and the power that there is in him. And knowing that when we have a connection with him, that there is no problem because he's not trying to control us at any point. That would have been easy, right? Unfortunately, as parents, we are parents, but sometimes our kids have their own ideas, right? Yes. And no matter how much we teach, how much we say, they have their own minds, and sometimes they go off the path that we've charted for them. Yeah. Or we've talked to them about, or what's best, or what we think is best for them, which most times is. Not from a place of, hey, I want to keep you safe and don't want you to get hurt, don't want to skin your knee. We know those helicopter parents sometimes, right? Won't let your child go out and play with their cousins. You at the family reunion, but they can't play. Your baby sitting over here on the... I'm sorry, my wife told me to stop because it's too close to home. Hallelujah. Not for us, our kids. You're like, no, get on out there. So I grew up in that, where you went outside. You couldn't stay in the house. You had to get out. And then you couldn't come back until it was time to eat something. Go away, don't come back until lunchtime, leave again, and don't come back until dinner time or before it gets dark, right? Am I the only one? Okay. That's just what it was. You just wasn't getting ready to sit in the house and tear up stuff and knock stuff over. Go get that energy out so you can sleep tonight. But you do have some of those parents that are helicopter-ish. But tonight, the first time that we find the name for God in the Bible, we find the name Lord in Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 2. So let's look at that really quickly. Chapter 15 of Genesis, verses 1 and 2, and it says, after these things, the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. Come on, I need you to remember that tonight. I need you to hold on to that, put it in your pocket, and just put your hand around it, get it tight in your hand tonight. But verse 2 says, but Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great rewards. He. By the time we get to the second verse, Abram has already forgot what has been stated and said. in the vision. Abram had allowed God to be Adonai to him in so many circumstances. He had followed God out of his homeland of Ur and into a new and strange land. He had relied on God to take care of him and his family. Yet, in this passage, Abram seems to despair of ever having the one thing that would bring him satisfaction, an heir. Could it be that Sarah's constant fretting over not being or not bearing children had something to do with Abram's forgetfulness about God's authority and power? Things that make you go, If you are a woman tonight, please be very aware of how much influence you have over the thoughts of your husband and family. How many husbands in the room have said this? If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So we know the power and the influence that a wife has on her husband or her family. My wife has learned that she has to be careful of the things that she says that she wants or would like. Because I try to move heaven and earth to make those things available to her. So she has to be careful. She's learned over the years, over 20 years of being married to me and 22 years of being us being in a relationship with one another, that she has to be careful of the things that she utters out of her mouth. Because come some holiday, whether it's a birthday or Mother's Day or Valentine's Day or Christmas Day or just a day, somehow something she has said has been registered, filed, copied, and put in a system that I have access to. So when the moment arises and there's a few extra dollars around, I'm gonna be a little slick with it. But we have to be careful as wives sometimes of the things that we say because they have weight and influence. Sarah did not allow God to be Adonai over the issue of her childlessness. And she influenced Abram in negative ways that impacted their lineage for generations. You know the story, right? So they got a little worried, got a little concerned, forgot about verse 1 of chapter 15 where God says that the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." He forgot about those things. They forgot about those things because you know that he shared those things with his wife. And so he had forgotten that God had said these things in a vision. And then you know what happens when we don't know when something's going to happen. We start getting antsy, right? And then we start coming up with our own plans and our own devices. And so my wife said, "Well, since I can't have kids, let's go talk to the..." One decision affects the entire lineage for generations. That decision to step outside of Sarah or get the advice from wife to step outside of her is still going on today. The fighting and the warring is still going on between Ishmael and Isaac. So we have to understand that if God speaks and he says a thing to you, if he gives you a vision, if you read it in his word, you have to be careful that you don't start coming up with your own plan. Because it may be something that bites you from generation to generation to generation to generation to generation. You're talking about 20, almost 2020. That's crazy to say. they are still battling today. From one decision of not being patient and listening to the word of God. Listening to the vision that God had given. And when we start putting our hands on it, then we, instead of it becoming a beautiful picture, it just becomes a blurred mess. And then even in the mess, God still steps in and allows Sarah to bring forth an heir. A true heir out of his married relationship. You know, how many times do you read in the Bible of this situation? David, right? David, he had a good thing going on, but then standing in place and is lingering longer than you should. Thoughts start running through your mind. Start making bad decisions. And now these things carry on from generation to generation. Abraham believed that he needed a son in order to be complete and fulfilled, despite the Lord telling Abram that he, God, was his very great reward. Although he did not put voice to words, Abram said, in effect, yes, but. Yes, Lord, but. See, it's all right when you say, I've been going through so much, but God has been good to me. I've been dealing with so much heaviness, and I don't know how I'm going to make it, but the Lord has carried me through. I don't know how I'm going to make it, Lord. I don't know how these kids are going to college, but I trust in the Lord with all my heart. But when God says a thing and we give the answer, yes, and then after the yes, we go, but. There is something else I want and need. Something that is more important to me than you. When something becomes more important to you than God, then there is a problem. Let us be careful not to make anything or anyone more important than the Lord. Abram was calling God Adonai with his lips, yet he had not truly allowed God to be Lord and master of his life in the area of his heir. Abram was worried. That he wasn't going to have a true heir, and he was concerned. And so his concern called concern, you know what concern is, right? It's just a pretty word for worry. And we have learned as Christians, in speaking Christianese, that I cannot present to the people that I'm worried about something. So I'll just say I'm a little concerned. You sound so educated. But it's just code for worry. Abraham had become concerned that he wasn't going to have an heir. Let's look at Psalms tonight. Psalms, the 23rd Psalm. I know everybody in the room can recite it by heart. But I want you to notice something tonight as we read in the 23rd Psalm. It says, who? The what? The who? Adonai is what? And I what? We don't even have to read no more. I got all these verses that we were going to cover, but I can stop right there. Jokingly, sometimes I go, the Lord is my shepherd and he knows what I want. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of Adonai forever. Adonai is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Some of these things we just need to just kind of, you know, I don't have anything against tattoos, you know what I'm saying? So I just said certain things you want to get put on your body. Or sometimes you just need to take it and put it on your mirror, hang it from your refrigerator, put it on the cabinet door, just to remind you every now and again when you're having a bad day and you feel like you haven't achieved all that you needed to achieve, I need you to see certain things during the day. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Oh, my cup. Because sometimes we just need to remind ourselves that we don't get so full of ourselves that we start making our own decisions. It is important that we not fall into the trap of compartmentalizing God into our little boxes or realms of what he can do and what he can't do. Areas where we find ourselves locking in or lacking in trust that he is the master over all. I asked you a question before we started tonight. Who is the boss of you? Are you the boss? Or is the Lord the boss? Who's your master? Is it your money? Is it your things? Is it your house? Is it the cars? Is it the status? Is it the position in the company? Who is your boss? If it's not Adonai, then you have a problem. And you need to get it rectified quickly. Now, we sit in the premarital sessions and talking to couples. And they come in and, you know, if they're young, man, they got all these dreams, all this light in their eyes. You know, they're so excited. Hey, we play the role as of the devil's advocate. Because every day is not going to be pretty. Every day is not going to be cute. Every situation is not going to be favorable. But can you hang out and be there when things get rough? It's crazy. This gentleman's probably not going to see this, but if he does, oh well. I met with a cat recently, I'll say that. Talking about a situation and dating someone, and it's only been 2 months that they've been dating, and just a lot going on already in 2 months. And he's like, yeah, he's got this job where money is up and down, but it's just industry. That's how it works. You know, 3 months in, you might get a check for 10 grand or 15 grand. Then, but for the next 5 months, nothing may come in. So you have to learn how to budget, right? Well, his friend, it's a relationship. Well, when things get tough and money gets low, they start acting funny. I told him, I said, look here, I'm not seeing yellow flags being thrown. I'm seeing red flag after red flag after red flag. If this is where we are after 2 months, but you know what? Some of us will make our own decisions. I got some things I can't say. I want to say, I can't say. Because sometimes we as men want to put on our dun-dun-duns. And play savior. Play rescuer. We find ourselves in situations. And wow, after 1 month, after 3 months, after 6 weeks, after 6 months, oh, no, what happened? I just can't do it no more. You knew in week 2. before there was any level of commitment, that you should have just turned and walked away. Oh, but that thing was good to me. So I stayed, and it'll work out. God can do anything. Okay. Looking at me crazy. We need some counseling. For 2 months? No, we don't. Red flag after red flag after red flag. Goodbye. I told him, I said, somebody wrote a song. Song say, it go like this. I can do bad by myself. I don't need no help to help me start today. I don't need no help. I don't have time. And I've never been one for drama. So if it gets heavy with drama, hey, look, I don't think it's going to work out. It ain't because I'm not going to push for the relationship, but if we're on two different levels, I'm not getting ready to be trying. Look, I can't, Lord Jesus, for the next 20 years, I can't be pulling. For 20 years, I'm pulling. And you wonder why you can't stand up straight. And you walk and you see people, what happened to him? He's been married to the wrong person for 20 years. That's what's wrong. But because Adonai is not where he's supposed to be, we make our own decisions, and then we end up and we have our backs all broken and crooked and our legs all warped and knocked out of place. Because we want what we want. God, Adonai, Lord, we can't just, I don't want to jump over my notes because it's good and I don't want to miss nothing tonight. How often do we say with our lips that God is Adonai, the boss, the king, the ruler of our lives, yet with our actions, we convey something very different? We have to allow Jesus to have total control of our lives. We have to be careful of allowing something other than God to be the boss and the ruler of our lives. I don't care how cute, how fine. It ain't worth this back. It ain't worth my life. For some, the boss of their life may be their job, their money, their status, their children, food, alcohol, drugs, friends, or a host of other things. Even good things like performing community service or our service for the Lord in the church can take the place of God in our lives. Oh, I'm there every Sunday. I'm always on my post. So now your post has become your God. It's become the thing that drives you. It's the thing that controls you. It's the thing that has dictated to you your path. Even good stuff, good things, can be things that have you all off track. When we bend our knee to anyone or anything other than God, we are practicing idolatry. So again, I ask you tonight, who or what is the boss of you? See, we can't, come on, Gary, you can't just accept him as Savior for all that he can prevent and rescue you from, but accept him as Adonai, Master, Boss, the Lord over every area, aspect, and part of your life. Lord, save me. Rescue me from this terrible man. Save me from this horrible woman, Lord. Be my Savior. I ain't gonna make you Lord, though. But Lord, be my Savior. Get me out of this trouble, Lord. Lord, if you get me out of this trouble, I'll serve you. I don't feel like going to church today. I got to work. Gotta get this money. Mm-hmm. See, when we accept Christ, sometimes we accept Christ, we accept him as Savior, but we forget to make him Lord. And we've got to make him Lord and Savior of our lives. You got to make him the head of our lives so that he can save us from everything and anything that we can come up against. You got to have Lord even before he's Savior. Lord, I need you more than anything in my life, but Lord, I don't want anything to ever take your place. Not my wife, not my kids, not my job, not my check, not my status, not my home, not my cars, not my position, not my place at the church. Nothing can take the place of the Lord your God. The more that we realize it's not possible to do life without him, the more we lean into and on him in everything. When that reality sets in for you that you cannot function, and I don't care what you see, folks. Look, I don't care what you see, and I don't care how much money they make. I don't care how happy they look. Who's Lord? If you look at Facebook, man, everybody look happy. You look at, you know, Instagram, everybody got it going on. Everybody's successful. And I've heard it said like this, if you live in your life to follow Instagram and Facebook, that ain't real. That's not real. I only show you what I want you to see. Nobody's taking pictures at home when we fighting in the kitchen and throwing pots and pans at each other. Nobody's taking pictures of the kids running the house. But on Instagram and Facebook, don't be fooled by what you see. I've heard it said like this. Believe none of what you hear and half of what you see. Everybody's happy on Facebook. Twitter makes you look so successful. So nobody taking pictures of them sitting and laying in their car, waking up from out of a sleeping bag in the car. Nobody takes that picture. Reality sets in that we can't do this thing alone. You know how many times I watch shows or watch stuff and I see things happening in the news and I go, wow, how do you function? How do you live? How do you make it without Christ being the head of your life? How do you make it? How are you surviving? It may look good for right now. It may look good for the moment, but I tell you what, next thing you know, I'm going to hear about the story of where you were in a hotel somewhere and you blew your brains out. Got everything. More money you can count. But you don't have the Lord. So you give me the Lord and I can make sure my bills are paid. And there may not be a whole lot of excess, but I'm good. Because I know where I got that from. It's just going to keep flowing and I'm going to always have it. I may not have four or five cars in the garage. I may not have a 14 room, but who's going to sleep in 14 rooms, y'all? It's four people in my family and a dog. I don't need 14 rooms. I don't need one more thing to try to figure out how I'm going to clean it. You ever go to those people's houses? They got big old fancy house. Ooh, child, you doing it. You go in, ain't nothing in it. I've been to them. But we get caught up on what we see and things and stuff and possessions, money, status become our God. It becomes our idol, the thing that we worship, and it takes the place of Adonai, who should be the Lord and master of our lives. And then our lives get all screwed up, and our kids are all just all over the place, and we can't figure out what happened. We got to get our thing in order. We got to get our lives in order. We don't just accept him as Savior. We accept him as Lord and Savior. Have you made him the Lord and Savior of your life? The King, the Master of your life? Or does he have to get in line with everything else? Behind everything else? Come on, let's stand on our feet tonight. The Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, I'm going to speak this over you tonight. Do not be afraid. Insert your name there. The Lord says, I will be your shield. And I'll need you to know tonight that you are exceedingly, your exceedingly great reward. I'm not just your shield, but I'm your exceedingly great reward. I don't want you to remember me because I need you. God doesn't need us. You realize that? He don't need us. He wants us. He doesn't need us. He wants us. I don't want to be in a relationship when every time I see it's always gimme, it's need. It's draining me, it's killing me. But when he desires you, he wants you. He wants you. Come on, hear me tonight. He wants you. When you say yes, don't add a but. Abram added a but. If it hasn't happened yet, just be patient. Just let God do it. Don't put your hands on it, because it's then that it gets all messed up and shaken and blurred, and we can't read it. We can't understand it. We can't receive it anymore. Just let him paint it the way he wants to paint it. And when he's done, it will be magnificent. Whether I'm in plenty or in lack, Lord, you are king over my life. You are master over my life. You are Lord over my life. Father, tonight I pray in Jesus' name, as we stand here tonight, Lord, I pray that we would know, understand, and receive from you. To know, Lord God, that, Lord, you are not only our shield, but, Lord, you are our exceedingly great reward. Help us, Father God, not to put other things in place of you. Let us not allow anything else to be Lord or master over our lives. Let us not make anything the boss over us anymore. But Lord, I pray that we would always recognize you, not just with our lips, but Lord, with our actions. That Lord, it would be seen and recognized that Lord, you are in control. And you are ordering every one of our steps. I pray tonight, if there be one here that doesn't know you, that Lord, that you would call them in. Let them know and understand tonight that Lord, you want them. You want me. You don't need me, but Lord, you want me. You want to have have relationship with me. You want to dwell and have communion with us. You want to open up every door that we need to walk through. You want to protect us and shield us from anything that we shouldn't be going into. Lord, you want those things. And Father, I pray that we would walk in that tonight, to know that when we leave this place, that they are wanted by you. The great I am, the soon and coming King, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Alpha and Omega. You're one, we're wanted. Jesus, have mercy. Help us, oh God, to never put anything above you, but always keep you as Adonai over our lives. You are the boss. You are the master. You are Lord God. That, Lord, your will is what we want to do, and we walk in that. Are we going to be perfect? No, we're not perfect. You knew that. That's why you gave us grace, mercy, and forgiveness, because you knew we would make mistakes. But, Lord, that still means that, Lord, you are still seated where you should be seated in our lives. Help us, oh Lord, I pray, tonight to walk out of this place and know that we are wanted by you. Lord, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We magnify you in this place above everything else tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.